जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की यमुनामयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की कलियुगपावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरांध्रस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। I welcome all the devotees for this second session on Gajendra's episode. This morning we discussed from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam Gajendra's crisis and his struggle to release himself from the jaws of crocodile. But he failed miserably, and in such a predicament Gajendra took shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Although Gajendra did not remember the Lord for 1,000 years, somehow by the grace of the Lord Gajendra developed some inspiration to take his shelter. So this is a very profound quality of Krishna, where out of his deep gratitude towards a devotee who did little service, the Lord protects the devotee from the most severe dangers. And that's what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita also. Neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Even little amount of devotional service done with a sincere heart will ensure one's protection from the most dangerous fears and calamities. And here is Gajendra, who was troubled so intensely and severely by this crocodile. But somehow, by Krishna's grace, Gajendra could remember some prayer that he has learnt in his past life and could offer that prayer and thus receive the Lord's grace and protection. Now, Gajendra is about to offer those prayers. So, before we enter these prayers, since last few sessions I could not take many questions, maybe I'll take questions little later but now I would like to take some quick review and revision of what you could remember in the last session, now that you have become very tired playing with colors and participating in kirtans, immediately entering some philosophical prayers could be a bit exhausting. So now, can anyone share some salient points from what you could remember in today's episode? Revision of other episodes we'll do later. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, you were saying that sometimes we want to help, but we don't have the ability to help. Sometimes we have the ability to help, we don't want to help. Sometimes we have the ability to help, we want to help, but we don't have the awareness that the help is needed. But the Lord has
all
the
three.
Awareness and everything.
He has the ability, intention and awareness. He has the capacity, compassion and cognizance. we'll discuss a prayer in lines with these three points. Any other important lesson that you remember? I saw one hand there. Yes, Prabhu. Jainita, Prabhu. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
I can yell.
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you.
We take shelter not just by our own efforts, but by Krishna's inspiration.
Even our mood of surrender to Krishna and our attempt to seek shelter of Krishna is also inspired by Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to offer prayers to the Lord when the Lord appeared in front of him. But Dhruva Maharaj could not, because he's a 5-year-old child. He did not have the necessary knowledge or vocabulary or poetic skills to offer a prayer to the Lord. So the Lord took his conch shell and touched Dhruva Maharaj's forehead, and entire Vedic knowledge was revealed to him, and he could offer eloquent prayers that we are studying even now. Yes, even taking shelter of Krishna and offering prayers to the Lord has to be blessed by the Lord, sanctioned by the Lord. Anything else? Yes, Mathis.
The Indra was very powerful outside the water. Mm. He would have done much better there on the land.
Mm.
With water, he was helpless. So maybe at times we can be good at certain things, but doesn't mean we can be good every time.
Mm. Just because we are powerful and influential at one place does not mean we are similarly powerful and influential at every place. Okay, anything else? Yes. Yeah. Whoever.
Calamities remind us we are not
the calamities. One of the purposes of calamities in a devotee's life is that we can remember that we are not controllers. Yes, Prabhu.
When we are absorbed in something, we will not notice the passage of time and we will not feel exhaustion.
Correct. Whether it is spiritual activity or material activity. You said once already, maybe another devotee. Yeah. Anyone remembers the technical Sanskrit words for this principle? Because Krishna is Sarvagya, he is also Kritagnya. Sarvagnya means one who remembers everything. He remembers every small service that we have rendered. And Kritagnya, he is grateful for that service also. Yes, Prabhu.
Devotees uses the serene, favorable environment for doing bhakti, but materialistic persons use the environment for sense
gratification. Correct. Anything else? Yes, Madhusi.
People generally remember the loss of the
institute, which is also arranged by Krishna.
That's frustration.
I'm sorry. I got a cheat. I could not concentrate. Like I get distracted in japa, I got distracted when you are speaking also. Yes, Mathis.
I say people get distracted. People remember Krishna when they are frustrated.
Hmm.
When they see nowhere else except Krishna. That's the time. This is also arranged by material energy of the Lord.
Hmm.
It's also induced by Krishna himself.
Hmm.
So that he can shower the mercy.
Yes. The frustrating experiences in our lives arranged by Maya are opportunities for us to take shelter of Krishna, if we see it from that perspective. So Maya functions in two ways, multiple ways, but two ways in which Maya functions is, Maya gives us opportunities to pursue our material desires and is wrought in this material existence. But Maya also presents so many obstacles and frustrations in our attempts to enjoy, to make us realize that this is not a right place for us to stay. Okay, anything else? One here, one there. Yes, Prabhu. Gopinath Prabhu.
Sometimes the solution to a problem itself will be a cause for another problem.
Dukkha ushadam tadapi dukkham atad dhiyaham. So the remedies to a problem could be more problematic than the problem themselves. Yeah. Yes, Mathis. Correct. Yes. Maharaj also has been emphasizing on this point. Anyone from this side? Yes, Prabhu.
This
unique point, no repetition, like Radharani. Yeah.
You mentioned that because of this, so many identities.
Because of our so many identities, we forget our real identity. And one example for this which you gave was childbirth, that when a child is born, one reason why they forget their past life is also because of the attachment they get from the family.
They're absorbed in the current identity, they forget their past lives. Yes. Yes, Mataji.
There are different parts to us, but the best part in us is that one wants to surrender to Krishna. Similarly, Paramatma has different parts, but the best part in Paramatma is that he gives us the inspiration
to come closer to Krishna. Paramatma functions in different ways. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Giving remembrance, giving forgetfulness, giving knowledge, even to pursue our own forgotten or pending desires is also activity of Paramatma. But the best part of Paramatma is to direct us to Krishna. Yeah, dadami buddhi yogam tu. Yes, Prabhu. Gopeshwar Prabhu.
I don't know if this was covered earlier, but this three C's, capacity, compassion and commitment.
Yes, Mataji said.
And one more is that even as we may have an intent to get to surrender to Krishna, that inspiration to surrender also comes from Krishna himself. You give the example of Gajendra.
Correct. Someone covered it. Yes. Anything else? Yes, Mataji.
You said the whole story of Gajendra is the story of Sharanagati. He didn't chant the holy names of the Lord, but he took shelter.
Yes. Although he did not specifically chant some name of the Lord like Rama, Krishna, Varaha, Narasimha, Vishnu, Vasudeva. But he glorified the Lord by praising some of his qualities, and the Lord recognized, oh, someone is praising my qualities. All the qualities in his prayer are present in me, therefore I must go and reciprocate. The way he reciprocated with Ajamil and
Putana.
Any one last point? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, you already spoke. Yeah.
Krishna, being extremely merciful, looks for any insignificant cause or reason from any living entity to bestow his mercy.
Correct. He is more desperate to give us mercy than we are desperate to receive it. Yes. Anything else? Yes, Sevia, you are not there in the class, right? Okay.
But you mentioned how a struggling sadhaka should be told millions of times that his true identity, that he is the eternal servant of the servant of Krishna.
Correct. Thank you. Shall we continue? Yes, Prabhu, last.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So you said that even if an aarti who is in distress, who takes to bhakti for some material purposes, after doing bhakti for some time, the material desires go away and the bhakti remains.
Eventually. It may not happen in everybody's case, but it's quite possible by Krishna's grace. Thank you. So finally, Gajendra took shelter of the Lord, started offering prayers that he has learnt in the past life. Prabhupada writes in the 8th canto, 3rd chapter, beginning purports, especially 2nd purport. One must somehow practice some prayer. Prabhupada says Narasimha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Brahma Samhita prayers. He refers to these prayers. So if we are accustomed to chant some prayers or sing some bhajans, or at least some names of the Lord, if we are accustomed to chant, they will come to our rescue when we are in deepest struggles and problems. So even in next life also they can save us, they can rescue us, just the way Gajendra is protected now. Actually, we discussed a lot about Krishna's gratitude, if you remember. I was quoting that shloka from Uddhava's prayers to Krishna in the 11th canto. Tasmad bhavantam anavadya manantaparam sarvagnam ishwaramakuntha vikuntha dhishnyam Nirvinnadhiraha muhe vrijinabhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye. The Lord is sarvagna, therefore he is kritagna. I was making this point primarily. He is grateful, even for little amount of service we do to him. However, when do we become grateful? Analyze yourself. When you just drank 1 liter water, and if you give me one more cup of water, will I be grateful? I can even see it as a botheration. Don't bother me. I'm full. But when I'm thirsty, last 2 hours, under sun, I'm very thirsty, I'm very desperate for water. Then you offer me a cup of water, I'll be very grateful to you. Generally, our gratitude towards another person depends on how desperate are we looking for that object which he has given us or she has given us, right? So, when we are needy, not greedy, but when we are needy for something, when we are in need of something and if that need is fulfilled by someone, we are grateful to them. But when we don't need something, if people still offer it, we are not so grateful. Also, timing is important. When I'm really desperate for something and if someone helps me with the right object at the right time, in the right proportion, in the right way, then I can be grateful. But if same favors or same privileges or same help comes at a time where I don't need, I will not be grateful, right? But Krishna, is he in need of anything? Does he need anything at any time, under any circumstances from anyone in the entire cosmic manifestation? But still Krishna is grateful. Gratitude is not for the thing that you receive from others. Gratitude is for their emotion. They have some place in their hearts for me. They have some feeling, some appreciation, some concern for me. They love me. Therefore, I am grateful for that love. So, Krishna is grateful for the love more than the offering, more than the commodity or the thing that we offer him. Krishna is more pleased with our attitude more than gratitude, more than magnitude of our offerings. So he is not in need of anything, but all he wants is our love, our affection. So when somebody offers a tulsi leaf to Krishna or some Ganga jal to Krishna, Krishna feels that this devotee paid proper price to me and purchased me. Now I am his property. So by offering some tulsi leaves, he has purchased me. I am his property now. That's how Krishna thinks. Aham bhakta paradhino hi asvatantra ivadvijaha. Paradhina, I am completely surrendered to this devotee because he surrendered to me. So Krishna gratefully remembers everything that we have done to him as a part of our service to him. Then he protects us when we are in need. So Gajendra was reminded of this prayer. There are so many prayers, we may not recite all the prayers. Initially, Gajendra describes some qualities of the Lord. If you have your phones or laptops or whatever, you can read 8th canto, 3rd chapter, shloka number 2 onwards. Gajendra's prayers will begin. We'll discuss some selected prayers only. First prayer. Om namo bhagavate tasmai yata etachidatmakam purushayadi bijaya pareshaya bhidhimahi. The initial few shlokas that Gajendra speaks are more in an Aishwarya flavor, where he glorifies the attributes of the Lord, opulences of the Lord. Om namo bhagavate tasmai yata etachidatmakam. O Lord, I offer my obeisances unto you. It is only because of you this entire world and cosmos is animate. Purushaya, you are the supreme person. Adi bijaya, adi means origin of everything, bija means the seed of everything. Just like from seed only, entire tree manifests. All the flowers and fruits and leaves and twigs and stem and trunk, everything manifests from that seed. You are like that seed. This entire cosmic manifestation originated from you. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate. Right? So that's how everything manifested from you. Purushaya, adi bijaya. Pareshaya abhidhimahi, para ishaya. Means you are the transcendental controller of everything. So in this way, Gajendra establishes the Lord's supremacy and says that when everything in the entire cosmos is completely smashed and annihilated and destroyed, you alone remain. You are transcendental to this birth and death in this material world. You are transcendental to the creation and destruction of this cosmos. And it's created, everything takes birth. When the universe is destroyed, everything is, it vanishes. But the Lord has neither birth nor death. He is not subjected to any creation or destruction. He is beyond the material modes. So his position is transcendental. So that is glorified. Later, Gajendra says that there are some people who take shelter of, I'll try to be as concise as possible. there are some people who take shelter of you with some material expectations, right? But there are people who are nishkama bhaktas. There are sakama bhaktas, there are nishkama bhaktas. So, sakama bhaktas remain sakama bhaktas only for some time. It's only a phase in their life. But nishkama bhaktas are those who worship you with absolutely no expectations in return. So initially Gajendra surrendered to the Lord with an expectation in return. I want something back. So that is the initial expectation of Gajendra. So if you see up to 15th shloka, Gajendra's prayers are more or less talking about the Lord's opulences and powers and his capabilities to protect someone. In the 15th shloka specifically, Gajendra said, he says, Namo Namaste Khilakaranaya. If you have phones, you can also recite. Namo Namaste Khilakaranaya. Nishkaranaya Adbhutakaranaya. Sarvagamamnaya Maharnavaya. Namo Pavargaya Parayanaya. Namo Namaste Akhila Karanaya. I offer my obeisances unto you because you are Akhila Karana. You are the cause of all causes. Right? Every cause originated from you, the original cause. But Nishkaranaya, you yourself don't have a cause. Nishkaranaya, Adbhuta Karanaya, therefore you are the wonderful cause. The wonderful cause that causes everything, but it itself does not have any cause. Therefore you are the wonderful cause. Then Gajendra says, Sarvagamam naya maharnavaya namopavargaya parayanaya sarva agama amnaya. Krishna is compared with an ocean. All the various scriptural paths and spiritual paths, they are compared to different rivers. Just like rivers somehow manage to flow and reach the ocean. Similarly, all the spiritual paths ultimately culminate in Krishna. The destination or the goal of every single spiritual path is Krishna ultimately. How can you say that? What does it mean? You follow any path, you will reach Krishna. Is that the message here? He says, Sarvagamamnaya Maharanavaya. You are like that great ocean in which all rivers of spiritual paths culminate. Namopavargaya Parayanaya. And all people who are seeking liberation, take shelter of you. That's what he says. Now let's analyze this line made by Gajendra through a beautiful purport written by Prabhupada in the third canto of Bhagavatam. You take a cup of milk and start approaching that milk with your five senses. You see the milk with your eyes. What realization do you get? It's a white substance, that's all. You are not bringing your ears or hands or any other senses in contact with the milk. This is the first time you are seeing. You see milk from a distance. It's a white substance. That's all. Then you hear about milk. You are not seeing it. You are not smelling it. You are not drinking it. You are just hearing it. Then you understand all different health benefits of milk. Glories of milk. Then you bring your nose in contact with milk. You will only smell its fragrance. That's all. That's your realization. That's your understanding of milk. You put your hands, you touch milk with your hands. Then you will understand whether it is hot or cold. lukewarm, you'll understand, that's all. You will also feel it's a liquid substance, it's not solid, it's wet, and it may be thick if it is condensed. That's all you'll understand, nothing more. But if you bring your mouth in contact with milk, if you put it in your mouth, you'll get the full benefit of milk. If you go to hotel, restaurant and order a cup of milk, if you see the milk, he'll not give you bill. If you touch it, he may say, hey, don't touch it, but he'll not give you milk. He'll not give you bill. If you hear about it, how much is the milk? Doodh ka hai, a gai ka hai. So you just confirm whether it is cow milk or not. Just by inquiring, he will not give you bill. Then if you smell it also, he may not give you bill. But if you drink it, he will give you bill. Right? Because he understands only by drinking you have taken complete benefit of milk. Similarly, if you approach Krishna through jnana path, you will realize him only as Brahman. If you approach Krishna through the yoga path, you will realize him only as Paramatma. But if you approach Krishna through the bhakti path, you will realize him as Bhagavan. Milk is white substance, which is correct. But is it complete realization of milk? If somebody asks you what is milk, if you just simply say, milk is white, does it complete the definition of milk or glories of milk, or is it a complete description of milk? No. Similarly, a jnani will follow whatever he has to follow and he will ultimately attain Brahman realization. Did he attain Krishna? He attained Krishna only. What is Brahman? Krishna's effulgence. So he attained Krishna only ultimately. And similarly, yogi, he meditates. Ashtanga yogi, he does. Say, assume that he attained Paramatma realization. Paramatma is Krishna only. But is Paramatma as complete as Krishna? It's a partial realization of the Lord. Just like bringing your other senses in contact with milk, you will only get partial realization or partial benefit of milk. Similarly, by following other paths which are not bhakti, you will only get partial understanding of the Lord. But when you drink milk, you will get full benefit of milk. Similarly, if when you follow bhakti yoga, you will get full benefit of Krishna. You will understand Krishna completely. You will realize him completely. But whether you are following karma yoga or jnana yoga or dhyana yoga or bhakti yoga, you are ultimately approaching Krishna only. That's what Gajendra said. Sarvaga mamnaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya. Whichever scriptural path, spiritual path you are following, you are ultimately attaining Krishna. But whether completely or partially depends on the flavor of your path, the nature of your path. So, Krishna is yathamam prapadyante. Even in bhakti path also, there are multiple ways in which people approach. Tamasik bhakti, rajasik bhakti, sattvic bhakti. That's one category. Or even in pure bhakti, prema bhakti, some people see Krishna as a child. Some people see Krishna as a friend. Some people see Krishna as a lover. Some people see Krishna as a master. Krishna will reciprocate with them accordingly. So, any bona fide path, spiritual path will take us to Krishna. But how much, what part of Krishna are we approaching depends on what path are we following. How much are we realizing Krishna? That depends on which path we are approaching. So, Gajendra said this, 15th shloka. Then, Gunaranichanna chidusmapaya tatkshobha visphurjita manasaya Naishkarmya bhavena vivarjitagama Swayam prakashaya namaskaromi. Gunaranichanna chidusmapaya. Just like fire is there in wood, but it's not visible. You have to kindle that fire. Put some matchstick, put some petrol, put some kerosene, put some oil, put some ghee, and then kindle that fire. And depending on the nature of wood, fire manifests in different ways. Sometimes wood has some kind of hollows inside. When the wood is burning, you will hear some sounds, right? I used to hear that. When my mother is cooking with these wooden pieces in our childhood, in that chula, then I used to hear some sounds. I would ask mother, why this sound is coming? Why fire is coming like this? As if somebody is like, what is that? Putting a syringe. Not with water, but with fire. Why this sound is coming? There are some gaps there in the wood. That's why there is some fire coming. Some sound coming. with force. And sometimes you see cow dung cakes, when you burn cow dung cakes, that will produce a different kind of ash. The fire will take up different shape. Similarly, the Lord is present in every living entity. Just like fire is present in every wood, fire element is there, you kindle it and it will come out in different shapes, shape different shapes of flames. Similarly, the Lord is present in every living entity. You need to kindle the presence of the Lord for the Lord to manifest in the life of that person. Not only devotee, for every single living entity. But the Lord will manifest in the life of that living entity depending on what kind of scriptural path or spiritual path that living entity is following. That's why gunarani channa chidusmapaya tatkshobha vispurjitamanasaya. But the best path is naishkarmya bhavena vivarjitagama svayam prakashaya namaskaromi. But the best path is, although the Lord can manifest differently to different people, the best path is bhakti yoga. Is it getting too technical?
No.
Gajendra's prayers are somewhat technical. It will become emotional after some time. We are just transiting. I kind of summarized the philosophical part of it. I will come to the emotional part of it very soon. We are making the transition. We are in 16th sloka. After chanting 16 rounds, so we'll enter the 17th one, which is more emotional. So in this sloka, gunarani channa chidusmapaya tatkshobha vispurjita manasaya naishkarmya bhavena vivarjitagama svayam prakashaya namaskaromi. In the second half of this sloka, he's saying, first half we discussed already, that wood and fire. Second half he says, naishkarmya bhavena. Karma is action, fruitive action. With an expectation of some fruitive result, you perform an action. Or with an expectation of some kind of benediction or boon or some kind of incentives from the Lord, you worship Him, you break a coconut in front of His temple, you do 11 pradakshinas, or you offer some bananas, you do some vrata, you do some homa, yajna, tapa, with some expectation. That is called sakama bhakti. But Gajendra says, not sakama bhakti, naishkarmya bhavena. Naishkarmya means with absolutely no expectation of any results you perform bhakti unto Krishna. That is called nishkama bhakti, naishkarmya bhava. Naishkarmya mapyachyuta bhava varjitam nashobhate jnanamalam niranjanam. In the first canto, 5th chapter, Narada Muni says, naishkarmya mapi achyuta bhava varjitam. Although you are detached, although you have a mood of detachment, but if there is no achyuta bhava, if there is no devotion unto Krishna, you only have detachment but you have no devotion, then it will not shine. Achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate, it doesn't shine. So along with detachment, you should also have devotion. Only detachment is not sufficient. It's great, but along with detachment from material things, you should have attachment to spiritual things. Then it is complete. So Gajendra is speaking about that naishkarmya which is accompanied with devotion. Naishkarmya bhavena, with that selfless devotion unto Krishna, he says, next phrase, vivarjitagama. Vivarjita means give up, relinquish, keep them aside. What has to be kept aside? Agama. Agama means scriptures. Earlier he said, all scriptural paths lead to you, Krishna. Now he says, give up scriptures. Just have naishkarmya bhava. Just have selfless, unmotivated, unflinching devotion unto Krishna. If you have it, even if you don't follow scriptures, Krishna will bless you. He's not minimizing scriptures. Point is, there are some pure devotees who have naishkarmya bhava, but they are above all the scriptural rules and regulations, scriptural prescriptions and prohibitions. They have transcended this vaidhi stage. They have developed that bhava, unmotivated bhava unto Krishna. Naishkarmya bhavena vivarjitagama. For such devotees, svayam prakashaya, Krishna will reveal Himself on His own. Namaskaromi, I offer my obeisances unto you. Is it clear? The shloka is clear. Tell me, what did you understand? I'm getting into Vidyapeeth mode now. Anyone would like to explain what we discussed in this shloka? Little complicated shloka. You already spoke. Anyone who has been silent? Yes, Mataji. Huh? Ah, fine. I want a little deeper explanation. You raised your hand, right? So they have Naishkarmya Bhava, they have complete dedication to the Lord, they transcend scriptural rules and regulations, right? But we cannot imitate them. That's an important point. Sometimes we may think, I'm not inclined to follow scriptural rules and regulations. Am I on that platform of Naishkarmya Bhava? And Krishna will do Swayam Prakasha for me? Swayam Prakashaya? No. Now, let's enter the emotions of Gajendra. The next shloka, Gajendra says, Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya
Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya
Swamshena sarvatanu bhrinmanasi pratita
Swamshena sarvatanu bhrinmanasi pratita
Pratyagrishe bhagavate brihate namaste
Pratyagrishe bhagavate brihate namaste
Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya
Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya
This important shloka, even if you have understood or not understood all the shlokas so far, this let's focus. Madhruk means people like me, not me, Gajendra. Madhruk. Prapanna means surrendered. So people like me who surrender and to you. So that's how Gajendra began the shloka. Madhruk prapanna. Gajendra also says, Pashu. Animalistic people like me who surrender unto you. Animals like me who surrender unto you. Madhruk prapanna pashu. When we hear this statement, we may think, oh, this is for pashus, not for me. I mean, manushya, not pashu. Please don't get offended. I'm repeating Prabhupada's statement. Prabhupada says, don't think that it is Gajendra's prayer. Gajendra is Pashu animal. But all of us are also animals. Anyone who is under the influence of the material modes is an animal. So you don't have to feel a little uncomfortable reciting this prayer. In fact, you have to recite this prayer more than all other prayers. This is the most important prayer in Gajendra's prayers. Madhruk prapanna Pashu. Pashus like me. Animals like me who surrender unto you, you will reciprocate unto them. So what is your reciprocation towards animalistic people who surrender unto you? Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya vimokshana. You liberate them from their bondage. Because this pashu is in pasha. Many pashus, domestic animals, are tied by their masters. Although Gajendra was not a domestic animal, he is tied by or he is caught by crocodile's jaws. Similarly, all conditioned souls are also caught up in the jaws of the crocodile of three material modes. Sattvagun, Rajogun, Tamogun is binding them. You may think that Sattvagun people are very good, right? No. Sattvagun people are also in bondage. Sattvagun people are not beyond bondage. You want proof? Go to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Tatra sattvam nirmalatva prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangyena badhanati jnana sangyena chanagha. So people in mode of goodness are bound, they are arrested by what? Sukha and jnana. They are attached to knowledge and enjoyment, happiness. They are bound by that. And the lower mode people, Rajogun, Tamogun people are bound by something else. Much, much more deeper bondage, tighter bondage. But anyone who is under the influence of material modes, Triguna, Sattvagun, Rajogun, Tamogun, they are under bondage. And if such people surrender into Krishna, then Vimokshanaya, Krishna will release them from bondage. Clear? First line. Madhruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Where did Krishna promise that if you surrender unto me, I will release you from three modes. No, someone said it. No, no, no. ದೈವಿ ಹಿಯೇಷ ಗುಣಮಯಿ ಮಮ ಮಾಯಾ ದುರತ್ಯಯ ಮಾಮೇ ವಯೇ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯಂತೆ ಮಾಯಾಂ ಏತಾಂ ತರಂತಿತೆ. ದೈವಿ ಹಿಯೇಷ ಗುಣಮಯಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಮಾಯಾ ಇಸ್ ಫಿಲ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ತ್ರೀ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್. ದುರತ್ಯ, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಸರ್ಪಾಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಮಾಮೇ ವಯೇ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯಂತೆ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಟು ಮೀ ದೆನ್ ಮಾಯಾಂ ಏತಾಂ ತರಂತಿತೆ, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ರಿಲೀಸ್ ಯು ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮಾಯಾ. ಸೇಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಡ್ ಇನ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ನೌ. ಮಾದೃಕ್ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷಣಾಯ, ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಲೈನ್. ವೈ ಡಸ್ ಯು ಡು ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನ್, ವೈ ಡಸ್ ಯು ಬೆಸ್ಟೋ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್, ವೈ ಡಸ್ ಯು ರಿಲೀಸಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ತ್ರಿ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್. ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೇ? ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹೀ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಬೌಂಡ್, ಈಸ್ ಎವರ್ ಲಿಬರೇಟೆಡ್. ರೈಟ್? ಇಫ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಬೌಂಡ್ ಐ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ರಿಲೀಸ್ ಯು ಫ್ರಮ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್. ಇಫ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬೌಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಲೀಸ್ ಯು ಫ್ರಮ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್. ಸೊ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎ ಲಿಬರೇಟರ್, ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಲಿಬರೇಟ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಕೆಪಾಸಿಟಿ ಟು ಲಿಬರೇಟ್, ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಲಿಬರೇಟ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ವರ್ಡ್ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ. ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್, ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ. ಹಿ ಮೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಲಿಬರೇಟ್ ಅಸ್, ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಪಬಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್, ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್, ಇಫ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಎನಫ್, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲಿಬರೇಟ್. ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಸೀ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕೆಪಾಸಿಟಿ ಬಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಯು. ಸೊ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ, ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನೇಟ್, ನಾಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನೇಟ್, ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನೇಟ್. ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸೊ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಕೆಪಾಸಿಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸಫಿಷಿಯಂಟ್. ಅಲಯಾಯ, ಹಿ ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಾಗ್ನಿಸೆನ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಲಯಾಯ? ಮೀ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಅಟೆಂಟಿವ್ ಟು ದ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ನೀಡ್ಸ್, ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆಟೋಮೆಟಿಕ್ಲಿ. ಓ ಮೈ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ಅವರ್ ನೀಡ್ಸ್, ಅವರ್ ಮೂಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅವರ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಫೆಲ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಬೈ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಲೈಫ್, ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿಲ್ ನೆವರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಸ್. ಆನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಡೇ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್, ರೈಟ್? ಅಕ್ರೂರ ವಾಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೇಟಿವ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಂಸ, ಬಟ್ ಅಕ್ರೂರ ವಾಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕಾನ್ಫಿಡೆಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಸ್ ಎ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೇಟಿವ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿಲ್ ನೆವರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಮೀ. ದ ಹೋಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿಲ್ ನೆವರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನೋಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಅವರ್ ಮೂಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗಿವ್ ಅಸ್ ಎ ಕಾಷನ್ ನೋಟ್. ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡನ್ ಸಮ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ಸ್? ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಟೆಲ್. ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡನ್ ಸಮ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ದೋಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿವೀಲ್ ಟು ಎನಿವನ್. ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗುಡ್. ಪೀಪಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗುಡ್. ಡೋಂಟ್ ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನೋಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡನ್. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅವರ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ನೋನ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಆಲ್ ದೋ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಅವರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಆ್ಯಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ರಿಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಆಲ್ ದೋ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ನೋ ಗುಡ್ ಥಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಥಾಟ್, ನೋ ಗುಡ್ ಡೀಡ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಡೀಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್ ಅನ್ನೋಟಿಸ್ಡ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ನೋಟಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ದಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ಎಸ್ ಎ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೋಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎ ಕಾಷನ್ ನೋಟ್. ಹೋಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಾಷನ್, ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಬೋತ್. ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಅಲಯಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ, ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸೀನ್. ಬಟ್ ಹೌ ಡಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನೋ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಮೀ? ಹೌ ಡಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅವೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಮೈ ಮೂಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೀಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡೀಡ್ಸ್? ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಹಾಫ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಶ್ಲೋಕ. ಸ್ವಾಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವತನು ಬೃಣ್ಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗೃಷೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಸ್ವ ಅಂಶೇನ, ವಿತ್ ಇಸ್ ಓನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಯಾನ್ಷನ್, ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲಿಟಿಲ್ ಅಂಶ. ಸರ್ವತನು ಬೃಣ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎಂಟರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಎಂಬಾಡಿಡ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ, ಹಿ ಸ್ಟೇಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಆಸ್ ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್, ಆಸ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್. ದಸ್ ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಎಮೋಷನ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಫೀಲಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೂಡ್ಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ಲ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್. ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಈವನ್ ವಿ ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್, ಹಿ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್. ಎವ್ರಿ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಥಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಪಾಸ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಜಿಸ್ಟರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್. ದಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಜೆನ್ಯೂನ್ಲಿ ಡೆಸ್ಪರೇಟ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ ಸಮ್ ನೀಡ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನೋಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಟು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಅಸ್, ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಅಸ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್. ನೋಬಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ, ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಎಲಿಫೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಸಿಟ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಶೋರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ದೇವತಾಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೇ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್? They're just watching. Gajendra never called us. Let's continue to watch the match. The match in the Strikuta Mountain Stadium happening between a crocodile and a powerful elephant for 1,000 years match. They're just watching. They're watching the fun. Nobody is coming to help Gajendra in any way. They have capacity. They have no compassion. And these people have compassion. Elephants, they don't have capacity. Someone who has both, someone who has all three, should come. And that is Gajendra's prayer. Please come, O Lord. So at this moment, Gajendra underwent a transformation in consciousness. I am praying to the Lord to release me from this bondage. So far, Gajendra offered so many prayers praising Krishna's opulences and powers and grandeur and majesty. At this moment, Gajendra became emotional and offering this prayer, please protect me, Lord. You only have the capacity. But later, Gajendra contemplated, I am approaching such a powerful Lord for this small thing. He go to the king and king says, whatever you want, take from me. And if you say, I want 2 dosas for my breakfast. It's not a very big thing. Those who are working in CSR and fundraising, if a multimillionaire says, what do you want for your temple? If this fundraiser says, no, we just want 10 rupees donation, sufficient. That's not a very intelligent proposal. Similarly, Gajendra also thought, such a powerful Lord. I am asking for liberation from this crocodile. He can do many things. Vimokshanaya is not just releasing from the crocodile's jaws. Real Vimokshana is to release everyone from their ignorance and false ego. That's a real release that we want. The real release is not release from some fever or cold or cough or some loose motions or COVID or even crocodile's jaws. The real release is release from ignorance, release from false ego. So Gajendra is slowly making a transition into that prayer. At this moment, Gajendra spoke a little bit about Sakama Bhaktas. Oh, people are approaching you to release themselves from their distress. I will not speak that shloka. But what Gajendra spoke about Nishkama Bhaktas, we need to speak now. Very, very interesting. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham. Recite somewhere in 20th shloka, I think. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham.
Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham.
Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham.
Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham.
Vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna.
Vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna.
Atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam. Gayanta ananda samudra magna. Ekantino means one-pointed devotees. If you remember, right on the first day in our first class, we discussed the glory of coming to Vrindavan. What do we get in Vrindavan? Ekanta bhava. Sri Krishna ekanta bhavam kvanu sakala jano vashyam apnotya yatnat Krishna syascharya seema parama bhagavataha kutra lilartha murte kutratya Krishna padam buja bhajana mahananda samrajya kashtha bhratar vakshe rahasyam srunu sakalam idam srila vrindavanetra. Sri Krishnasya ekanta bhavam. That one-pointed devotion to Krishna is available in Vrindavan. And what are the qualities of those devotees who have that one-pointed devotion? Ekanta bhavam, Gajendra says. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham. Na kanchanartham vanchanti. They don't desire anything material. All they desire is only love for Krishna. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham vanchanti. Why? Vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna. Because they are completely surrendered unto Krishna, they don't want anything else. Because sharanagati or complete surrender unto Krishna will give you everything. And By any other process, you cannot get things that you can get by surrendering unto Krishna. Yesterday, at this Govardhan Valley, we were discussing about that conversation between Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan. Gopis gave three options. Krishna said none of the above. He presented a fourth option. And finally he said, not even fourth option, fifth option. What is that? I cannot repay you. Naparayeham, right? But there is another statement Krishna made after Naparayeham. I cannot repay you. I am so indebted to you that all my bank balance cannot even pay interest for all the service that you have done to me. I cannot repay you. May you be satisfied with your own loving, selfless, unmotivated devotional service unto me. Beyond the satisfaction of selfless service unto Krishna, even I don't have anything to offer you. So this is the glory of selfless service. Even Krishna feels so bankrupt, even Krishna feels so incapable of offering us anything beyond the satisfaction of selfless service unto him. When we selflessly serve Krishna with absolutely no expectations in return, that ahituki bhakti completely satisfies our heart with spiritual bliss, that beyond this bliss, beyond this satisfaction, even Krishna does not have anything else to offer us. What does it mean? The highest benediction, the highest happiness, the greatest pleasure that a soul can derive in the entire cosmos since time immemorial and for the rest of eternity is the bliss of selfless service to Krishna. Even Krishna doesn't have anything beyond this. All his chintamani stones or his gold or Vaikuntha airplanes, all these are not as valuable as the happiness of selflessly serving him. And this happiness is the eternal property of all the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, ekantino yasya nakanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna. So where else do they derive this happiness? If Krishna is not giving anything, they have to derive happiness in their own bhakti. What aspect of bhakti gives them great happiness and great bliss? Gajendra clarifies in the next two lines of the shloka.
Atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magna.
Ati adbhutam means extremely wonderful. What is extremely wonderful? Tacharitam, Krishna's pastimes. Sumangalam, extremely auspicious. The most auspicious and extremely wonderful pastimes of Krishna and discussion on those pastimes of Krishna will nourish the hearts of the devotees, that beyond this they don't want anything else.
Atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magna.
Gayanta, they just glorify this blissful pastimes of the Lord, and they are ananda samudra magna. They are immersed in an ocean of condensed bliss. So coming together and discussing Krishna Katha like this is the greatest bliss. Beyond this there is no other bliss in life. Come together, chant the holy names of the Lord, discuss Krishna's pastimes, derive bliss. Beyond this, Krishna doesn't have anything else to give us. Do you think Krishna will give you something more than this? No, this is ultimate. We may not be able to relish it completely with a heart which is still affected with some anarthas and aparats. We may not be able to completely access that pleasure, experience that pleasure, although we are there, right there. It's okay. It takes some time. Let's continue this process. To develop taste for hearing, continue to hear. To develop taste for chanting, continue to chant. So, in the mood of a servant of Krishna, if we dedicate our body, mind and words to the process of shravanam, hearing Krishna Katha, that gives us the highest bliss. Beyond this, there is no other bliss. The bliss of Krishna Katha is what is being aspired for by so many great souls. Whether it is Lord Shiva in the Rudra Gita, or Kunti Maharani in her prayers, or Prachetas in their prayers, or Dhruva Maharaj in his prayers, or Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers, all of them are aspiring for an opportunity to associate with devotees and discuss Harikatha in that association. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo Dvijayapara Duratyaya Vaitaranyaha Tvadvirya Gayana Maha Amrita Magna Chittaha Tvadvirya Gayana Maha Amrita Magna Chittaha. My mind is totally immersed in the glorification of your pastimes, your qualities. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. There is no happiness beyond this. And that's what is happening in Vrindavan constantly. Two gopis come together and discuss Krishna's stealing pastimes. Two gopas come together and discuss Krishna's naughty activities. When two are not there, only one is there, they are meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Or sometimes they gather in groups, two gopis come and they glorify Krishna's flute song. So they are totally immersed in glorifying Krishna constantly. Even a casual conversation in Vrindavan, even gossip or prajalpa in Vrindavan is Harikatha, pure Krishna Katha. Right? Gramya Katha we say, right? Vrindavan is a grama, a small village. The Gramya Katha in Vrindavan Dham is Harikatha, is Krishna Katha, pure Krishna Katha, done with pure love. Yatredyante katha vrishtaha trishnayaha prashamo yatha. Yatra idyante katha vrishtaha. Wherever devotees gather together and discuss Harikatha and nourish themselves with katha, pure Krishna katha, trishnayaha prashamo yataha. All trishnas, all our material hankerings are completely vanquished. Nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kashchana. There is no enmity. Our enmity is completely washed away. If you are still feeling envious of another devotee, even after practicing bhakti, doing some sravanam and kirtanam for a while, for a decade or two, we need to understand we have not sufficiently nourished ourselves with Krishna Katha. One who can really taste Krishna Katha cannot host envy in the heart, even at sadhaka platform. If there is envy towards another devotee, means the nectar of Krishna Katha has not entered our hearts sufficiently. Nirvairam yatra bhuteshu na udvego yatra kaschana. No udvega, no anxieties or fears also. Then yatra Narayana sakshat, wherever we are discussing Krishna Katha, Lord Narayana is personally present there. Just imagine, on the first day we were discussing with Maharaj on Saturday. Maharaj said, whenever I give class, I have two members in the class who are definitely hearing me, and seeing that they are present, I become very enthusiastic in speaking Krishna Katha. Who are those two? One is Srila Prabhupada, second is Krishna. Maharaj was saying like this. Because Krishna is there, Prabhupada is there. Guru is there, Krishna is there. When they are there, you enthusiastically speak Harikatha. Others, whoever happens to be there, will be there. Whether they are 1,000 people or 100 people or 10 people or 1 person or 10,000 persons, Krishna and Prabhupada are sitting there. So, Yatra Narayana Sakshat. Even Lord Narayana himself said to Narada Muni, he said, Naham Tishthami Vaikunthe Sadhunam Hridaye Shiva Yatra Gayanti Madbhaktaha Tatra Tishthami Narada. I don't sit in Vaikuntha. I don't sit in the hearts of yogis. I sit in a place where devotees are coming together and discussing Krishna Katha without any ulterior motives, without any selfish agendas. They are sitting only to purely glorify Krishna. That's all. If you have any other agenda in doing Krishna Katha also, that doesn't completely please Krishna. Yes, some purification happens. But if you are sitting to discuss Harikatha only to glorify Krishna, no other agenda, whether it is money or name or fame or prestige or whatever it is, if other agendas are not there, Krishna will be pleased. Teaching is a Brahmanical activity. But if the teaching is done to gain control over people, it's a Brahmanical activity done with a Kshatriya spirit. If the teaching is done to earn money, that's a Brahmanical activity done with Vaishya spirit. Right. So, in this material world, nothing is pure. Everything is tinged with other modes. you operate in one mode, some tinges of other modes also come there. But Krishna Katha is an activity which is above all these modes. So to access that purity of that Hari Katha, we need to have pure intention. What is that pure intention? No selfish motive. Nothing for me, only for Krishna. I'm here to glorify Krishna, that's all. And by glorification of Krishna, there is purification of my heart. That's the thing. So Gajendra said this, Ekantino Yasana Kanchanartham. And after that, there are some 4-5 shlokas where Gajendra said, oh Lord, even if you protect me from the jaws of this crocodile, I don't wish to continue to live in this animal body, elephant body, filled with ignorance. Body is big, but it's ignorance only. The real release I want is release from this ignorance, release from this false ego, not this release from this crocodile. See, even within this 25-28 prayers only, Gajendra made a transition. Initially he said something, I want, you are so glorious, you are powerful, you are this, you are that, you are that. You are opulent, you are grand, you are this, you are that. Then, please protect me. Why am I asking for protection if you are so great? I should ask for a bigger protection, not just protection from this crocodile. I should ask for protection from false ego, from ignorance. Finally, he concluded his prayer. All the devatas were thinking, oh, this elephant is praying and he is not calling us. And in one, at one point, Gajendra also makes a point. Oh Lord, who is the source of so many minor gods? You are the supreme God, who is the source of, who is the master of some minor gods, smaller gods. I want the supreme God, I want the big boss, not the smaller bosses. Then devatas got offended. Gajendra is praying to him and then he is calling us minor gods. Minor devatas, we will not go. And he will not come anyways. Lord Hari is not so easy to get pleased, so he will not come so easily and this animal will die. This is what all the devatas were thinking. To think that Krishna will not protect his devotees is a great offense. Even to think that Krishna doesn't give shelter to someone who is surrendered unto him is the greatest offense to bhakti, to the process of bhakti and to Krishna also. The devatas have done that offense. The devatas have committed that offense. But fortunately, they realized that offense very soon. Why? Gajendra offered these prayers. 1,000 years of struggle, but prayers are only a few minutes. So, in these few minutes of prayers offered by Gajendra, these devatas are having this kind of thoughts and emotions. Suddenly, as they were thinking like that, they saw Lord Vishnu very hastily descended. He is descending on the back of Garuda. He is in so great haste. And it's very clear that Vishnu is rushing towards Gajendra with his four hands and with his Sudarshan Chakra, and Garuda is also rushing. And all the devatas saw from their respective planets, where Vishnu is going. We thought he will never go. We have made an offense. So let us also go behind him to offer prayers to him so that our offense is nullified. They are here flying on their respective carriers, whether it is bull carrier or swan carrier or elephant carrier, airavat carrier. They are all coming behind Krishna, behind Lord Narayana, Lord Hari. Just to save one elephant in the Trikuta mountain region, Lord Vishnu came, Brahma came, Shiva came, and Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all these people are coming there. And Vishnu is being glorified by all these devatas. Devatas are offering prayers to Lord Vishnu while they are descending along with the Lord. The Lord is not ignoring. The Lord is ignoring all those prayers. He is not even paying any heed to their prayers. They are doing some reverential prayers. Oh Krishna, you are like this, you are like that, we have committed a mistake. I am not here to hear your prayers. I am very busy. I am in a great emergency situation. My dear devotee Gajendra is in emergency situation. To protect Gajendra is my priority, not to hear your apologies. Right? So all the devotees are just running behind the Lord, and the Lord is focusing on how to save Gajendra. So this is the situation there. Yam Brahma Varun Indra Rudra Maruta Hastunvanti Divyaistai. Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Shiva, Manus, Prajapati, so all of them are just offering prayers to the Lord. The Lord doesn't have time. The Lord does not pay attention to them. Why Gajendra is in crisis? Because Gajendra's prayer is a helpless prayer, a prayer of dependence, prayer of Sharanagati. But their prayers are prayers of apologies. Of course, that is a good prayer. But they have committed an offense towards the Lord. Gajendra did not. The Lord is in a greater emergency to respond to Gajendra's prayers and did not have much bandwidth to respond to their prayers. So they came in an apologetic mood. This is how we also need to pray. Morning we were discussing one prayer which we could not elaborate. Samsarambhasi sambhruta bhrama bhare gambhirata patraya Grahenabhigrihita mugragatina kroshantamantarbhayat Deeptrenadya sudarshanena vibudha klantichida karina Chinta santati ruddha muddhara hare machitta dhantishwaram Samsarambhasi sambhurta brahma bhare. Samsarambhasi, samsara is this material existence. Ambhasi means ocean. Samsarambhasi sambhurta brahma bhare. This material ocean is filled with so many illusions and bewilderments and confusions and temptations. That's the nature of this material ocean. Gambhirata apatraya. Facing this tapatrayas in this material ocean is very gambhira, very grave situation we are in. A conditioned soul may not realize it. Gambhirata apatraya. Already being in a material ocean itself is a very awkward and humiliating and dangerous situation. And on top of it, being tossed by the waves of the three material modes is even more austere. And on top of it, this crocodile caught me. Grahena abhigrihitam ugragatina. Grahena abhigrihitam. This graha, this crocodile has caught my foot. Not for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, for 1,000 years. Abhigrihitam ugragatina. Ugragatina means very intensely. It created a very, very fierce and panic and emergency situation. Grahena abhigrihitam ugragatina. In such situation, you know what am I undergoing? Akroshantam antarbhayat. Akroshantam means I'm crying within. Antarbhayat, my heart is filled with terror and fear and anxiety. Helplessness. Kroshantam antarbhayat. Deeptrena adya sudarshanena vibudha. In such a predicament, I'm taking your shelter, O Lord. Deeptrena, your effulgent Sudarshan Chakra you must release. What is the track record of that Sudarshan Chakra? Deeptrena adya sudarshanena vibudha klantichida karina. Vibudha klantichida karina means this Sudarshan Chakra had the track record of destroying the distresses of even great devatas also. That is the power. Can't it destroy the distress of a small elephant? Please release that Sudarshan Chakra, O Lord. We need to pray like that. But who is Gajendra in this sloka? Not Gajendra. The mind. Chinta santati ruddha muddhara hare machitta dantishwaram. Machitta, my mind is the dantishwaram. Dantishwara. Ishwara means controller. King. Danti means elephant. Right? This elephant who has this big, big tusks. So he is Danti. And because he is the king, he is called Ishwara. So Dantishwara basically is Gajendra. But he says, Machitta Dantishwara, my mind is like that Gajendra. And this mind is caught up in this samsarambhasi. My mind is caught up in this material ocean. And the crocodiles and sharks of distractions and temptations and allurements and material emotions and material attachments are just overwhelming me. I'm just crying within. Chinta santati, I'm constantly in anxiety. Ruddham uddhara hare, hari, do some uddhar. Uddhar means deliver me, protect me, uplift me. Chinta santati ruddham uddhara hare, machitta dantishwaram. This is why devotee prays. Machitta dantishwaram. So, Gajendra is very helpless. And in such a state of existence, he was inspired by the Lord to take his shelter, and the Lord came and released his Sudarshan Chakra and cut that head of that crocodile, and by his divine touch of his hand, he just pulled Gajendra from the water, and by the touch of the Lord, Gajendra got Sarupi Mukti. Immediately, an effulgent form like Vishnu Duta, Gajendra received that brilliant form. This is how the Lord protected Gajendra. And this is how we need to express our dependence on the Lord in the mode of Sharanagati, in the mode of Draupadi, in the mode of Gajendra. Actually, to adopt this mode is very difficult for a conditioned soul who is absorbed in so many material pleasures and pains. But one very, very effective way of slowly entering that mode is to repeatedly discuss these pastimes like this. By repeatedly discussing and hearing about Gajendra, we become like Gajendra. By repeatedly discussing the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj, we become like Ambarish Maharaj. Not that we want to imitate them, but we imbibe their qualities. By repeatedly discussing the glories of Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, we imbibe their qualities, their personality traits. We think like them, we speak like them, we pray like them, we depend on Krishna like them. Therefore, regular discussion is important. All of you must have heard Gajendra's pastime, or you must have spoken Gajendra's pastime also. I also heard, I also spoke hundreds of times, but every time we discuss this pastime, this or any other pastime from Bhagavatam, that's an opportunity for us to imbibe their mood. One more attempt. I read it earlier. I understood the story. I could remember the story. But did I actually enter the mood of Gajendra? No. Let me discuss it again. Let me hear it again. So by hearing it again, we come little, 1 inch closer to that mood. By hearing it once again, just little more, 1 centimeter closer. By hearing 1,000 times, we'll come little more closer to that mood. That's why discussing Krishna Katha is not just an attempt to accumulate more and more information. Last 4 days we have been discussing many things. Nothing is new. I did not speak anything new. Everything is present in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and most of us are aware of all this also. But this repeated discussion in a holy dham like this, in the association of so many devotees, will help us embrace their mood, embrace the mood of... We discussed primarily about 4 devotees, Akrura, Prahlad, Dhruva Maharaj, and Uddhava, and Gajendra, and few other personalities, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, many other devotees, but primarily these 4 episodes from Bhagavatam. So we can enter their mood, we can imbibe their mood slowly, it'll come very slowly. It can come fast also, if you are very eager. But if you are little less eager, then it'll come slowly. Right? Basically, we can imbibe these moods to the degree we are enthusiastic to hear repeatedly, discuss repeatedly, meditate on them repeatedly, reflect on them repeatedly. These are a few thoughts on Gajendra pastime. There is no end to it, but I'll end now. Next half an hour, we can discuss some. Any questions, comments? Hare Krishna. That devotee never asked. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna, thank you. so much, Prabhuji, for amazing katha today. My question was in regards to demigods, devatas. I find it very difficult to understand their position, because sometimes we see, we understand that they are all devotees of the Lord and they are all worshipable also, and they are to be respected, and all demigods like especially Shiva, Brahma, Indra, they are so close to Krishna, and in spite of that they commit mistakes. And especially like today, like even when a devotee is suffering, like this Gajendra is suffering, they are not willing to help. Like their attitude is something that I am not able to understand in this situation, and their position in regards to the whole Bhagavatam.
In the third canto of Bhagavatam, the fifth chapter, in one purport, Prabhupada says that there are two kinds of living entities. One category is those who have pure consciousness to render service to Krishna. Another category is they have impure consciousness to lord over this material nature. Right? Easy to understand, two extremes. But in between these two extreme categories, there is a mixed category in the between, category in the between, in the middle. They have mixed consciousness. What is this mixed consciousness? Some desire to serve Krishna and some desire to lord over this material nature. Such people are made devatas, managers of this material world. What does a manager do? Service. But that service is inherently controllership. Manager has to control resources, manpower, many things, money. And that control is a part of Krishna's service. But anyone cannot do that service. One who has that controlling tendency only can do that service. If a simple person is kept in that role of controlling money, he will not control money. He will just allow the money to be spent the way whatever situation comes in. He doesn't have that smartness, he doesn't have that bent, right? Or money, or resources, or manpower, or whatever it is. So there should be some kind of ability to control, for a good cause, of course. All these devatas have that controlling tendency, lording over tendency, managing tendency. But they want to serve the Lord also. The Lord says, okay, fine. You control fire, Agni. You control rains, Indra. You take a charge of creation department, Brahma. Like that he delegates different responsibilities to different devatas, because they want to serve the Lord, but they have a mode of controlling. But while doing that service, if their mixed consciousness goes towards the pure consciousness of complete surrender to the Lord, they'll become pure devotees, they'll go back to Godhead. But sometimes this mixed consciousness goes towards the only controllership. Service attitude will disappear and they will go towards this impure category, not the pure category. They are mixed category. They have two options. Either going to the pure category or impure category. Sometimes they go like that, that's great, wonderful journey. But if they are going towards this side, Krishna has to pull their ear and then bring them back. Hey, at least be in mixed category, don't go into impure part, impure side. So that's what is happening to many devatas. Some devatas are pure devotees, but many of them are mixed. They generally serve the Lord, but sometimes they may make some mistakes. They may become victims of lust and pride and envy and greed. We can see these personality traits in us also. Now, the way you are asking this question about devatas, people who are not yet practicing devotional service will look at us practicing devotees and ask this question. Hey, devotee, he has tilak, he has kantimala. How can he say like this? How can he be rude in that situation? How can he be not kind? So when we also exhibit that kind of personality trait sometimes, right? As practicing and struggling sadhakas, we may not be kind, we may not be very polite, we may not be grateful, we may be a little rude in our dealings with other people. Outside people see us and they say, hey, how can they be like this? They also ask this question in their forums like that. But devatas are elevated devotees, no doubt. But they still have some little impurities. That's why they are given that role. Make sense? Next question.
Yes, Mithu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is a wonderful lecture. Prabhuji, like we are asked not to gossip when we go to Dham. But please pardon me if I am wrong, but you said here that even gossiping in Vrindavan is Harikatha. So could you please elaborate on something?
What is gossip? What is gossip?
I mean, that's what our senior says. Gossiping means saying something which should not be said, like saying about ourselves, like that's what they say.
Saying about ourselves is gossip.
Like talking, I mean, not talking about law. That's what.
Now, what is the basic dictionary meaning of gossip? I'm just asking simple question.
I mean,
so that I can answer your question.
Yeah, saying something which should not be said, like saying something.
What
wrong,
should not be said? That's the question.
Yeah, wrong thing about others, or I mean.
That's what Vrajavasis are doing. They are speaking all wrong things about Krishna. Krishna has stolen from our home. he is a cheater. He is this, he is that. But that is also Krishna Katha. Whatever they say is in connection with Krishna. See, that gossip word, we may not take literally. We have to avoid gossip. So when we say we have to avoid gossip, the meaning of the word is unnecessary talk. Prajalpa means unnecessary talk. It's not required, as you said, it's not required to speak that. If you speak it, it is called gossip. But in Vrindavan, even if it is not required to say in a particular context from a practical perspective, they will speak about Krishna. It is not required to speak about Krishna. They will bring in Krishna in the discussion and they will speak. In that sense. It's said in a lighter tone. Don't take it literally.
Thank you, sir.
Next question. Yeah. Yes, that matter.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful sessions. So I'm trying to understand the importance of desire in our spiritual practice. So one of the verses, or rather two which come to my mind, when Prabhupada say, akamo sarva kamova mokshakama bhardi tivrina bhakti yogina. And on the other hand, there is Krishna bhakti rasa bhavatamati, that the only price to pay is intense greed. So without that intense greed, how or when will that change of desire happen, that the bhakti that I'm doing as a sarva-kama, all the desires, some desires a sara, to lead me to that ultimate goal?
When it is said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we have to give up desires, anya abhilashita sunyam, it's not that we have to become desireless. Anya abhilashita means that desires which are disconnected from Krishna must be abandoned. But any living entity should have a desire. Without a desire, living entity cannot be called living entity. This water bottle cannot have a desire. Because there is, it's not a living thing, right? So living being means living being should have desire, and the desire should be for Krishna. That's the emphasis. As you said, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati, Laulyam is the one and only Mulyam. Means greed is the one and only payment or prerequisite for us to attain Krishna Prema. Yes, we need to have that Laulyam, we need to have that greed, we need to have that intense desire. The other day, this little girl, Sevya, was asking this question, how can we chant? What did Maharaj say? Attraction, desire. You should want to chant. We should want to chant the holy names of the Lord. So, desire is an integral part of devotional service. In fact, bhakti begins with a desire to surrender to Krishna. The desire is followed by endeavor. And that endeavor is accompanied by prayer. With this desire, endeavor and prayer, we can attain Krishna. If desire itself is not there, there is no endeavor in bhakti. So when we say we should not have desires, that is like lack of, that we should not have material desires. We should not have desires that are unfavorable to our spiritual progress. Okay, Mathis. Next question. Anyone who has not asked yet, they give it. You ask. I think. That matters. She did not ask.
Hi Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much, such a wonderful class. And Prabhuji, my question is that, as you told, if we repeatedly in discussing on, about the Vish Maharaj Katha and Gajendra Maharaj Katha and Gajendra Ji Katha, then we will surely become one day like that. Then what does it mean we should hear and we should like read, or we should talk to others? What does it mean?
All. तत्श्रृण्वन् सुपठन् विचारण परो भक्त्या विमुच्यन् नरः तत्श्रृण्वन् हियर हरि कथा हियर वैष्णव कथा आल्सो सुपठन् स्टडी आल्सो रीड विचारण परो मीन्स कॉन्टेम्प्लेट रिफ्लेक्ट ऑन इट आल्सो वी नीड टू डू ऑल थ्री श्रवणम कीर्तनम निधिध्यासनम ऑल दैट नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन यस ब्रो दिस ब्रो डिड नॉट यू विल डेफिनेटली गेट मी आफ्टर हिम
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice, the wonderful class. My question is, practicing sadhakas, we are caught up in many material activities outside of the spiritual path. What's the probability that we will get a Tivriyana Bhakti and we will go back to Godhead in this lifetime?
That Mataji answered your question. Laulyam, intense desire. The what is the probability or possibility of we getting Krishna or the Tivra Bhakti is we need to desire it. We need to yearn, plead, beg. We should have that longing, intense longing, to have that intense longing. We should desire to desire only bhakti, nothing else. If we don't have that desire, develop the desire to develop the desire. If you don't have that intense longing, just long for that longing and pray for that longing. Krishna, may I have attraction for you. I don't have attraction for you. May I have attraction for you. Please inspire me to develop attraction towards prayer. And one more practical answer apart from the mood of it is, we should associate with devotees who have that eagerness, who have that intensity. The last 3-4 days we are with Maharaj because he has intense desire to chant, absorption in chanting. He's also streamlining our chanting. Many devotees are feeling that deeper connection with the holy name in the last few days in the association of Maharaj. So when we associate with devotees who have it, we will get it. If I don't know the way to Melbourne, someone has to guide me. Someone has to tell me how to go there. Similarly, if I don't have that absorption, someone who has absorption should guide me, bless me, and I should follow their footsteps. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the lecture. This morning you mentioned in Vaikuntha people have personal golden planes and consorts in there, but it doesn't touch their mind because they're immersed in Hari. I was wondering how it works in Goloka Vrindavan, how do they immerse themselves in Hari there, and how is it different?
All of them assist Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna. राधानामैव कार्यं ह्यनुदिनमिलितं साधनाधीशकोटि त्याज्या नीराज्य राधा पदकमलसुधां सत्पुमार्थाङ्गकोटि राधापादाब्जलीला भुवि जयति सदा मन्दमन्दारकोटि श्रीराधा किङ्करीणां लुठति चरणयोरद्भुता सिद्धिकोटि. This is the engagement of Vrajavasis, whether in Goloka Vrindavan or Bhuma Vrindavan. They just want to assist Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna. So Radharani is the supreme worshipper of Krishna. Others assist Krishna. Others assist her in her service.
Is it a more informal relationship compared to Vaikuntha? Is Vaikuntha more formal and full of etiquettes?
Yeah, full of etiquettes and full of formalities and reverence. The worship is in the mood of grandeur, majesty, opulence. But Vrindavan is characterized with sweetness, innocence, simplicity. That's Vrindavan. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, we see in this pastime Gajendra he enjoyed throughout his life and then at the end called out to Lord Krishna. But then we see in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, they went through austerities and attained the same destination. So how do we understand?
Prahlad went through austerities.
His father tormented him.
Oh, that austerity, okay.
So how do we understand this? And as we learn lots of prayers in childhood, if we do some enjoyment, will Krishna help us remember him at that end time?
I think you asked two questions.
Yes.
Let me answer the first one first. Different devotees connect with Krishna and they have different backgrounds. Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee, not since birth, even before birth. Before he even came out of mother's womb, he became a devotee by Narada Muni's grace. So his way of connecting with Krishna is totally on a different plane. He is not an Artha Bhakta. He is not an Artharthi Bhakta. The other two examples you quoted, Gajendra is an Artha Bhakta. He wanted relief. In the context of experiencing this calamity because of this crocodile, Gajendra surrendered to the Lord. And Dhruva is an Artharthi Bhakta. He wants position, wealth, name, fame. So that's his background. But Prahlad has a pure devotional background. Even before birth only, he experienced Krishna consciousness by the grace of his Guru. So that's why they all connected to Krishna in their own unique ways, but ultimately they become pure devotees of Krishna. Everybody has their own journey. They all culminate in one destination, that is Krishna's lotus feet. They have their own backgrounds. Now, what's your second question?
If we do some enjoyment, even though in our childhood we have learned so many prayers, at the time of death, will Krishna help us remember them and take us back to him like he did with Krishna?
Why not? So when you say enjoyment, that does not mean a devotee should not enjoy at all. We enjoy Krishna Prasadam, enjoy Kirtan. Yesterday we enjoyed Kirtan at Radhakund, right? Saurabhikund. Enjoy. Did you enjoy Saurabhikund glowing in hundreds of lamps there? So devotee enjoys, but that enjoyment is Krishna conscious enjoyment, not material enjoyment. You enjoy eating. But Krishna Prasad, not something which is not offered to Krishna. You enjoy Kirtan, enjoy songs, but devotional songs, not materialistic songs. You enjoy friendships, relationships, but Krishna conscious relationships, not material relationships. So enjoyment is there. So sukham kartum avyayam, this whole process is enjoyment. And we, according to our constitutional position as Atmas, we are anandamayobhyasat, we are pleasure seekers. We are enjoyment seekers. We have to enjoy. But that enjoyment has to be on a spiritual plane, not on material plane. So enjoy, no problem. And Krishna will remind you. Some hands I saw in the front line. Yes, Prabhu. Sankarshan.
That verse, Prabhuji, Danteshwara, is that verse is from where? Can you tell?
I think Padyavali. Padyavali, somewhere it comes. 16. Rupa goes. 16th? 16th shloka of Padyavali.
16. Thank you.
Kupinath.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class all the days. Now my question is related to that Ishaman syndrome. Today morning we discussed. My thought is, like in the Krishna conscious environment, in the temple environment like that, where we are practicing sadhakas, I get service. After a while, somebody makes me a service in charge. So I do that service and I'm amidst devotees. I chant, I read, I hear, I understand all the philosophies. But still this Ishaman syndrome is entering my head. So how to alert or how to be out of it? You know, it's sometimes we forget. I forget, sir.
To come out of Ishamani syndrome, we have to embrace Bhaktamani syndrome. So, Dasamani syndrome. I am not Isha, I am Dasa. So, let us start considering ourselves as Das and not Isha. Isha is, I am controller. Das is, I am a servant. So, in the association of other servants who have that mood of being a servant little better than us, we slowly come out of this Ishamani syndrome and enter into Bhaktamani syndrome or Dasamani syndrome. So ultimately it boils down to how we associate with devotees, and amongst devotees also there are multiple flavors. You need to understand who is a Swajatiya, who matches your mood, not like material mood. They like Rasgulla, I also Rasgulla, not that kind of mood I'm saying. But every devotee wants to serve Krishna in a specific way. Different devotees relish different aspects of Krishna Bhakti. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. So different devotees have different moods. Now we are under the Gaudiya umbrella. Our mood is to worship the Absolute Truth as Vrajendranandan Krishna. But there are other bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. They want to worship the Lord as Vishnu, as Lord Ramachandra. So different devotees have different moods. Now we associate with Swajati. Under this bigger umbrella of Krishna Bhakti, we have little smaller umbrellas. Some like to chant more. Whenever they get time, their hand enters the bead bag. Although they finish 16 knots, they want to chant 16 more, or 4 more, 5 more, 10 more, 30 more, 64 more. Gauranga Prabhu constantly chants. Prabhu, yes, if you want to chant Hare Krishna. And there are some people, as soon as they get time, they open Bhagavatam. Some people, as soon as they get time, they just serve devotees. So you need to find out with whom your frequency matches. And associate with them. And relish that aspect of Krishna Bhakti and go deep into it. So then we come out of that Ishamani syndrome. Thank you. Any other question? Yes, Matasi. Oh, you asked on the first day also.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please help me to understand, maybe I'm missing a point here, protection and surrender. So, am I correct to understand that when you surrender, then Krishna comes and protect you, like you see in Draupadi case, that only in the end when she surrendered, then Krishna came and protected her. And also in Gajendra case, Krishna came to him only when he turned to him with prayers, and Krishna came and protect him. Krishna didn't came any earlier, either for Draupadi or Gajendra. Also, in the case of holy name, just want to ask, is it that until we surrender, Krishna won't reciprocate in us? So maybe you can help me to enlighten this.
Krishna is very merciful that even if the living entity is so sinful, commits such abominable activities and becomes a non-human entity or a tree or a fish or an insect or an ant or a worm in stool also, Krishna does not want to leave a living entity who is his own Amsha and stays right within that living entity's heart as Paramatma. So by default, this much attention of Krishna is granted for every living entity, even though the living entity is a Nitya Bhadar conditioned soul. That is granted. But you want more attention of Krishna, then we have to put some, you know, extra, endeavor. Just like, if you go to some places, by default there are two beds in the room. If you want extra bed, you have to pay some extra money. Okay, take one more bed. You put in that corner and then sleep. So, right? Some places, they have this system. Similarly, by default, Krishna is merciful upon different, all the living entities in certain base way, the pizza base, right? Or vanilla flavor type of reciprocation, he'll give to everybody. So after that, so that living entity has to acquire more. The Lord did something on his part. You show some endeavor, you should put some endeavor in that direction. He has put one step, 10 steps towards you. He put at least one step. So, in reciprocation to our approach, the Lord will show more mercy. If you are more eager, you will get more mercy. That's why Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. That is his neutrality aspect. I am Paramatma in everybody's heart. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. There he is acting only like a Paramatma. Paramatma privileges, the privilege of having Paramatma in one's heart is available for every single living entity, whichever species the living entity belongs to. So that much the Lord is doing. He is not saying, I will not be Paramatma in ants' hearts or in the hearts of snakes or scorpions. He is Paramatma in the hearts of every single living entity. Whether they are trees or insects or bacteria or whatever, he is there. So that much he is doing. And beyond that also he does. He gives, especially coming to human species, he gives opportunities for us to surrender. He sends his devotees and representatives, please enlighten this person. And then we need to reciprocate with that enlightenment. He sends scriptures. We need to take advantage, take benefit of the scriptures. He comes personally as incarnations. What else he can do? He comes as incarnations and then still you say, oh, he's an ordinary human. Ram is an ordinary human. Oh, what a big deal. I can also do what Ram did. So some people think like that. So what can he do? Naham prakasha sarvasya. Maya javanikachannam agnadhoshchatam avyayam. So he's covered with a curtain of Maya to people who are not qualified to see him. Actually, he's not covered. They are covered with a curtain of Maya. So he stays behind curtains. But he's eager to open the curtain, if we are eager to open it. So some endeavor should be there from our side, and he definitely reciprocates. Even slightest effort we put in his direction, so he will reciprocate profusely. Thank you. That's why kripa and parishrama. Parishrama should be there on our side, effort should be there on our side, and kripa will come. It's a combination of both. Yes, Prabhu. These two Prabhus.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening lecture. A lot of learning points came out. Regarding Prabhuji, you mentioned that the demigods, they committed offenses. So were they able to relate to that elephant body, and they knew that it is he is a devotee in the body of an elephant, and then they are not able to help him, but they did not intentionally help him. Was that the offense committed by the demigods?
I am not sure whether they knew his past life or not. If they knew, I am not surprised. Because karmana daivani itrena. They are very... And devata, when you say devatas, there are different gradations of devatas. There are smaller, minor devatas also. They are very exalted devatas like Brahma, Shiva, they definitely know. They are aware of everything. They are trikalagnas. Some devatas are trikalagnas also, especially Brahma and Shiva. So they know. And some minor devatas may not know. So what exactly is the question?
Actually, I wanted to understand more about the offense incurred by the demigods when they did not help.
Now, they had a thought that the Lord might not come to protect Gajendra, but the Lord came. They were surprised. And they thought, oh, we offended the Lord by thinking that he may not come. And they immediately rectified that offense by descending along with the Lord while offering prayers to the Lord. It's a thought that passed in their mind, which they considered offensive, which is offensive. But it's not such a grave offense. It's a momentary thought. It's not that that's their sthayi bhava. It's not that they're constantly thinking like that. Some people are like, God is never merciful. They think like that. They're outright materialistic people, atheistic people. They think that God doesn't exist or God doesn't reciprocate, etc., etc. But these devatas thought like that for a moment. Just like Madhavendra Puri thought, let me taste that kheer. But immediately he felt, it's an offense. The Lord is still eating and I'm thinking of tasting it. It's an offense, and he left. He considered it as an offense. Similarly, devatas also, to taste something which the Lord has not eaten is an offense. Or to even think of tasting is an offense. But Madhavendra Puri did not really intend to do it. He just wanted to test it so that he can make a similar preparation for Gopalji here. Out of his humility, he considered it as an offense, which is ordinarily an offense in the case of someone else, but in his case, it's not exactly an offense. In Devata's case, it is an offense, but it's not like an offense done by a typical materialistic person. Hiranyakashipu said, "I will break your head, Prahlad. Let me see whether your Lord Hari will come and protect you or not." That's an offense. But the Devatas also thought, he may not protect Gajendra. That is also an offense. Somewhat, some similarities are there, but there is a lot of difference between Hiranyakashipu and Devatas. Sometimes when we see some small mistake done by a great soul, and then we see the whole, that great soul from that perspective only sometimes. All Devatas are like this. Indra is always like this. So mistakes of Indra are described, but between this mistake and that mistake, he is doing a lot of seva also. You should not ignore that. Brahma has stolen the calves and boys. That's like one little mistake only, at that one moment only, in his huge life, 100 years life. But if we focus only on that, then sometimes we may end up offending them. We need to learn what not to do from the activities of great souls without offending them. That is a mistake. We should not do that, but we should not offend also.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Vipraji. I have one question from today and one from previous class. So, today's question is that we see in these devotees' life, like Draupadi, Mother Draupadi, Lord came when she exclusively surrendered to him. Similarly for Gajan. But in other pastimes, like you described Ajamil and Putna, so Lord came, but their surrender was not on the same level as these other devotees. So how should we understand this?
The Lord is more merciful when he is in Vrindavan. He can show mercy on Putana also, Aghasura also. I quoted that statement from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary from the 12th chapter of 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The Lord is extra merciful in Vrindavan. Just like if you go and purchase something in a shop on a typical day, it has a 10 costing, but there is some Diwali bumper sale, Sankranti clearance sale, you will get it for much cheaper rates. It's like that. So the Lord is more merciful in Vrindavan.
Like these are special cases, Ajamil's case, and these are some special cases.
Ajamil did not go back to Godhead immediately. He got a second chance. He was released from the Yamadutas. And then he went to Haridwar, he performed intense bhakti, tevara bhakti for 12 years, then he went back to Godhead. And Ajamil never committed an offense. To chant the holy names to eradicate our sinful reactions is an offense. To commit more sinful activities on the strength of holy names is an offense. He did not commit these two offenses. His sins and chanting are going on two different tracks. So that is Ajamil's glory. But somehow when sadhaka becomes aware of things, he knows power of holy name. Holy name can remove all sinful reactions. Oh, really? Let me chant more. Then it becomes an offense. So that's the problem with awareness. That does not mean we remain in ignorance. We need to be aware. Awareness of glories of holy name. Yet, we should not use holy name to wipe out our sins. You should chant holy name to come closer to Krishna.
And, second question, Prabhuji, in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, Suruchi and Uttama, like Dhruva Maharaj must have forgiven them for what they did, but they still face the reaction of the offenses which they committed. Now, I want to understand that how do we see this in our own life for the offenses which we do?
I think we discussed in the class, but let me mention now once again. Suruchi and Uttama faced some reaction for their quote-unquote offense, although they were transformed. Actually, Uttama did not offend Dhruva. He was sitting in a place where Dhruva wanted to sit. That's all. But he never offended, at least there is no mention in Bhagavatam. Suruchi definitely offended, very harsh. But later she became transformed. she developed love and affection for the Lord, for Dhruva. But still, she had to die. Everybody has to die one day. But the Lord allowed their death to happen in this way, so that we get a caution note, we get a warning, we get a message that be careful with devotees, don't offend them. Through their death, the Lord has given us a message. But their death is a happening which is supposed to happen in anybody's life, and after death, they did not go to hell. They must have gone back to Godhead for developing so much love for the Lord, or at least they must have got another life where they continue their practice of bhakti. That is sure. So, just to demonstrate the effects of offending a devotee or anyone unnecessarily, the Lord has orchestrated this incident. Thank you very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.